Hello, you lovely listener, you. This is the 17th edition of Cromford's Assortment, a thing I started when the first COVID-19 shutters slammed down on us. 17 weekly programmes means I've been churning these out for about a third of a year. Nigh on 4 months. Lately, I've started thinking over all the ways I could continue to function as a creator, and all the directions that Cromford's Assortment might end up going in. So, while I'm doing that, I've given myself a week off from putting together a regular programme, and this week's edition is mostly a sort of best of, if you like, compiling nearly all of the silly sketches from the first 16 shows. I hope you enjoy at least some of these sketches all over again. But in the meantime, let's do the 16th of July. And welcome to Cromford's Assortment on Thursday the... Well, I've already told you what date it is. 2020! On this day, the 16th of July, 1872, Roald Amundsen, the Norwegian explorer, was born. He led the first expedition to reach the South Pole in 1911. Attitudes to our fellow creatures were very different then, of course, but it is still worth taking a moment to reflect on the number of sledge dogs that Amundsen and his peers killed in the cause of exploration. Were dogs' lives less important than the business of trudging somewhere just to plant a flag? I don't think so. On this day in 1910, Australian John Dewigan made the first powered flight of the first Australian aircraft, which had been built by Dewigan and his brother, inspired largely by photos of the Wright brothers' flyer. That maiden flight of Dewigan's covered 23 feet, about the length of an average through lounge in an average 1960s semi-detached Barrett home. Doesn't sound like a very impressive hop, does it? But I bet it gave the wallaby something to think about. On this day in 1935 in Oklahoma City, USA, the world's first parking meter was planted on a poor, unsuspecting bit of roadside corner. It would have cost you 5 cents for an hour's worth of parking if you'd been around then and there. On this day in 1942, Margaret Court, the legendary Australian tennis player, was born. She's considered, by those who ought to know about this sort of thing, to be the best woman tennis player in championship history. Mind you, her third and last Wimbledon singles title in 1970 was an epic tussle. Yes, she beat Billie Jean King in straight sets, but the scores were 14-12, 11-9. On this day in 1952, Stuart Copeland was born. Come on, you don't need me to tell you who he is, or has been. As literally the driving force behind the Police, his drumming, especially his top kit work, always sounds to me like a perfectly controlled explosion in a linguine packing factory. Just imagine it. On this day in 1965, the Mont Blanc Tunnel between France and Italy was opened. It runs for just over 7 miles under the Alps, and that sounds like a very long way while I'd be waiting for the mountain to fall in on me. Call it irrational if you must, but I'm not a dwarf and I've never wanted to work in the mines of Moria. On this day in 1969, Apollo 11, and you don't need me to tell you what that was either, lifted off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And the moon waited for its first patter of tiny feet, and the first little jab of a flagpole. It's those flag planters again. Also, the 16th of July is World Snake Day, so be nice to your tame crate or your pet puff adder. Also, it's Fresh Spinach Day in the US.
Oh, go on, Paul. Say something lively about Fresh Spinach Day.
Can't think of anything. That's spinach for you. Kicking off the proceedings from Programme 3, here's Origami Master Marriott Frinton continuing his tutorial in making your own hazmat suit.
So, here's what we'd made by the end of last week's session. You remember, we'd made the basic flapping bird folds, but we pulled this flap, flap A, out again, and made a rabbit ear fold under the fipple, yeah? Okay, what we need to do now is shug that fipple, just a touch, like so, because we're going to do a taffy front on it later, otherwise, of course, the pantaloons won't have anywhere to hang from. Now, you see what I'm doing here? I'm using my thumbnail to make a hard crease right the way up the fuse, being very, very careful not to extend it into the placket, because the zip's got to go in later, and if the placket gets biased, well, the zip won't seal, your suit's up the swanee, and you'll be in all sorts of jelly. Done all that? Right, now it's time to do something about flap A. And now you realise why we're using shiny-sided origami paper. I want you to take flap A, like this, the way I'm holding it now, and I want you to recursively pleat it, like so. Don't worry, this washi paper is surprisingly springy. It won't tear while you're doing this, but it will get quite taut as you keep pleating, and you need to be careful not to... Yes. You see, that's what could happen if you don't hold it really firmly. Of course, I was distracted by talking at the same time. That wouldn't normally happen. Anyway, when you've got 16 of these pleats, and they are feisty little beggars, aren't they? When you've got them firmly under your fingers, you need to pull the shugged fipple over them, all the way over, and then let go. See? Yeah, I know it looks a bit rude, popping erect like that, but don't worry about it. You've just made your first taffy front, and we can see about making some twig frond pantaloons that will slip easily over that shiny shugging. Oh, but that's for next week. I just need to go and bathe this.
Not yet, people. The social distancing hog has had a field day in the last 4 months, as I'm sure you've noticed, especially in the supermarkets. Well, let's see now. I think I'll have me some bagels. A couple of Danish. Maybe a pack of tea cakes.
Excuse me.
Now, what the hell are these supposed to be? Hot cross buns. Never come across these before.
Excuse me.
What?
Are you going to be much longer? I'd like to get to the croissant.
The what?
The croissant. Just up there behind you. Are you going to be much longer?
Well, I haven't rightly made up my mind yet.
Sorry? What was that? You need to speak up. I'm all the way over here.
I said, I haven't rightly made up my mind yet.
Only there aren't many packets left, and I'd like to get one of them.
One of the what?
Croissant. Those things up there, look.
Oh, those little doodads. You want these?
Yes, and I can't get to them because you're,
Standing where you want to be.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
No need to thank me, mister. Ain't moving yet.
But you've been standing there for 11 minutes. Your basket is full of bakery products, and I do think you're being a bit unfair.
Well, I'm all broken up about that. Tell you what, you keep your frosty little ass out of my face a while longer, and maybe I can concentrate on finishing my shopping, huh?
Frosty little what? I've a good mind to report you to... Hey, what are you doing?
I'm grabbing me some of these crescent doodads you're so steamed up about.
But you're taking every packet.
3, 4 Yep, that's all of them.
You're emptying the whole shelf unit. Right, well, that's the giddy limit. Put them back.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
Put those croissants back.
What the hell is that?
Is a 44 Magnum, which used to be the most powerful handgun in the world, and could blow your head clean off.
Hey, take it easy, old-timer. You don't want to make a wet spill in the bakery aisle.
Well, you'd better ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
Jeez. Okay, fella, I'm putting them back. I'm out of here. I only came in for some waffles.
Thank you. Honestly, some people would take the spinach out from between your teeth. Hello, Muriel.
Hello, Clint, love. You all right? Hey, I see you waving your gun around again.
You'll never believe what I've just had to do. I was just waiting here.
Tape Hiss Theatre presents The Scottish Play by William Shakespeare.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly is done, when the battle's lost and won.
That'll be ere the set of sun.
Just a minute. Half a mo. Who's that bloke, I'd like to know?
He approaches. This is not part of the script that I have got.
Nor mine. Let's hear what he would say. Then get on with this wretched play.
Hello. Hello, loves. Terribly sorry and all that, but I've come for the wind machine. Now, I'm doing an Antarctic Explorers documentary in the studio next door, and we need the wind machine. Sorry.
Oh, we come for the wind machine? What do you think you're playing yet?
I'll bring it back as soon as we've finished, all right? Super.
Ruddy marvellous. Now what do we do?
It's hard to be witchy when you haven't got the wind.
Speak for yourself.
I'm Marriott Frinton, your origami guru. But I'm not here today to do any paper folding. Today I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine, the astronomer and xylophone virtuoso, Patacake Moore. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Marriott, and thank you for inviting me over. Is this about 2 metres, do you think?
Yeah, this is about right. Now, what have you got for us today, Pat?
Well...
Oh, I see you've brought one of your mysterious gizmos along.
Yes, indeed. I want to tell you about something very interesting that's happening out there in deep space, and I need this machine to explain it with.
Well, I am intrigued and no mistake. What is this machine? Looks a bit like an exercise bike.
It's my own invention. I call it a frequency accelerator. And you work it just like an exercise bike, you see?
Not really, but I suppose it'll become clear when you've told us about the interesting deep space thingy.
Yes, yes, exactly. Now, first of all, press that blue button on this panel here.
The blue button?
That's it. Now, what do you hear?
It's a clock ticking, isn't it?
Well, not exactly, because you see, Marriott, a clock, if it's accurate, should tick exactly once every exact second.
Right.
Which is 1 hertz in technical terms.
Okay.
Whereas this ticking is ever so slightly further apart, something like 0.91 of a hertz.
So that means this clock is running a bit slow, yeah?
Exactly. Now, Marriott, could you go over and mount the exercise bike?
I am intrigued. Okay.
Careful not to tear your shiny hazmat suit. Nice shugging on that pipple, by the way.
Okay, I'm ready. By the way, this hasn't healed properly yet. Do you want me to put my...
No, just use your feet.
You want me to pedal?
Yes, yes, but very slowly.
Like this?
Yes, that's perfect, Marriott. You've done this before, I can tell. All right, stop.
Okay.
Now, when I press the blue button again... Hear that? The ticking's twice as fast.
Oh. Yeah.
Right, pedal again. A bit more vigorously this time.
Right.
All right, stop. Now I press the button again. And guess what?
This is just a wild stab, Pat, but has the ticking gone double speed again?
Brilliant. That's something like 3.642 hertz, you see?
Pat, I'm struggling to see what all this has got to do with the deep space thingy.
Well, I'm coming to that, Marriott. So, pedal again, really quite briskly now. Stop. I press the button. Double speed again. Now we're getting somewhere.
Pat, if you're just getting me to pedal this bike so you can speed up the ticking, couldn't you...
What? Couldn't I what, my boy?
Couldn't you just get something electronic and twiddle a knob?
Yes, of course. But this way is so much more fun, isn't it?
My suit isn't really optimised for bike riding. That's the problem. These twig fronds are beginning to chafe.
Oh, that'll clear up in a couple of days. Meanwhile, in the spirit of scientific inquiry, just you pedal again and put your heart into it.
For God's sake, Pat!
Stop! Oh, sorry, I was drifting off. We've overshot ourselves, I think. But never mind. I'll press the button, and... Voila!
What do you mean, voila?
That's just over 29 hertz. And do you know what you've generated there, lad?
What?
That's the lowest B flat on a piano keyboard. That's what.
Pat a cake. If I wanted to hear a B-flat on a piano, I can think of ways to do it that don't smart quite so much and don't sound quite so much like a horse with flatulence. I mean, that just sounds rubbish, that does.
Yes, well, all right, all right. Now, let's go for doubling the speed three more times. Pedal for all you're worth, Marriott. You're a credit to science.
This had better be the last one, Pat.
You're doing marvellously, my boy. Almost there now. Just one last push.
Oh!
Oh, what's the matter?
Oh, I've caught myself in the cogs.
Oh, dear. Badly?
Well, what do you think?
Shall I come over and help?
No, it's all right. I'll just back pedal a bit. Oh,
I say. They look very poorly. They don't look very clever at all. You'd better bathe then, you know.
Ooh, I'm going to need to chase that one up later. Forever blowing bubbles. The voyages of the mini sub Skipjack. Talfrin's log. July the 2nd, 1330 hours. 2 days out from home base. That's the base we call home, obviously not home base. And the Skipjack, Commander Hassock's brainchild, is performing like a dream. We're now cruising at 45 feet below surface, on a bearing of 210 degrees, following the edge of the Philpott Shelf. Normality has been restored, but about an hour ago we had an unexpected crash test of Skipjack's emergency surfacing manoeuvre. It happened like this.
Steady as she goes. You've given us an excellent trim, Phobes.
Oh. Thanks, Skipper. But the water temperature helps.
Yes, it does, and I appreciate your efforts there, but I was actually referring to our haircuts. It's always good to start a new endeavour with a new hairdo. It shows you mean business. I can run my hand through this now, without looking like Angelina Jolie.
Skipper, it's probably lunchtime, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Shall I break out today's lunch packs?
Yes, please do, Sir Talfrin.
Right. There's yours, Skipper.
Thank you.
And Forbes?
Oh!
Here's yours.
Oh. Thanks, Talfrin. Oh my God!
What the ruddy hell?
It's the contamination alarm. Something's happening to our air supply.
Oh, we're going to die!
Okay, I've deactivated the alarm. I'm seeing the danger reading, but I can't detect anything wrong.
I can. There's a different quality to the air.
Oh, God! Something's died!
Phobes, there's nothing else alive on the Skipjack except us three. But something is very wrong. Stand by to put on your respirators and prepare to surface.
Honestly, I can't detect anything wrong. Are you sure?
Talfrin, you can't be serious. Get your respirator ready before you... What are you eating, Talfrin?
My sandwiches, of course. Actually, I might have made too many of these. Either of you want to share?
What's on them, Talfrin?
This, look.
In heaven's name, man! Phobes, put us on the surface now! What?
And so we ended up topside, so that Commander Hassock could lob my three-day-old boiled egg sarnies out across the briny.
That'll be my delivery from Waitrose. Just a moment. Bright and early this morning, I must say. How are you?
Well, well.
You?
Well, well. Mr. 44 Magnum himself.
What are you doing here? And why are you dressed like a Waitrose person?
Because that's who just started paying me. I'm your home delivery guy. And now I know where you live.
I hope we're not going to have any unpleasantness.
Not at all, mister. Let's be real friendly.
Well...
You can call me Harry.
Well, all right then. That's very decent of you.
Okay then. Mr. Eastwood?
Eastworth. I'm Mr. Eastworth. Can't Waitrose get anything right?
Probably not, pal. I'm afraid there have been a few substitutions in this order of yours.
Oh, for goodness sake. All right, then. What have I got?
Well, there are your potatoes. And your rutabagas.
Rutabagas? They're called Swedes.
Whatever. You know, you look like the sort of pipsqueak who eats rutabagas for pleasure.
Pipsqueak? Are you being abusive?
Not at all. It's a friendly expression. Now... What didn't we have?
Did you get my croissant?
Yep. Okay. We couldn't get you the iceberg lettuce, but we do have these.
What are they?
Pre-packed BLT sandwiches.
Pardon?
I figure you could tweeze the lettuce out of them.
What else?
No turkey crown, but you got these.
Party snacks?
It's a six-pack of chicken-flavored potato chips.
You mean crisps?
Yeah, whatever. You gotta remember, these are difficult times for supply and demand.
I suppose so, but I don't have to be happy about it.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. Which reminds me. You carrying that gun right now?
What? In me dressing gown? I've only just got up.
Okay. Move it right along. Bananas. Yeah, we have no bananas. But we do got these. Tiny and tempting, bite-sized caramel flapjacks.
Are you winding me up?
They are tiny and tempting.
How are they a substitution for bananas in any shape or form?
Don't know. Waitrose must have overbought, I guess.
This is Mr. Marlowe, General.
Hello.
Sit down. Brandy, Norris. How do you like your brandy, sir?
In a long Tupperware beaker with a straw.
Why?
I find the straw helps me concentrate.
I used to like mine with champagne. Champagne cold as Valley Forge and with about three ponies of brandy under it. Oh, come, man. Pour a decent one. I like to see people drink. Tell me about yourself, Mr. Marlowe.
There's not much to tell. I'm 38 and I went to college. I've worked as a gantry crane driver's mate, still got the bucket and the disinfectant, and as a body double in martial arts movies. These days I'll do just about anything for money. Oh, by the way, your butler's getting his shoes wet.
That'll do, Norris. You may take off your coats, huh?
Thanks. I'm gonna have to take my trousers off, too. My combinations are sweaty.
Go on, sir. Too hot in here for any man who has any blood in his veins. You may smoke, too.
Oh, that's not smoke, General. I'm steaming.
What does that mean?
Means you'll need to get this chair recovered when I've gone.
I can still enjoy the smell of it.
General, why don't you tell me what your problem is while I drink my brandy?
I'm being blackmailed again. About a year ago, I paid a man named Joe Brody $5,000 to let my younger daughter alone.
Is this the same Joe Brody who calls himself the Prawn Cracker King? Stands on the sidewalks with free samples, shouting to people, I'm crackers, have a prawn?
Yes.
Did you ask your daughter whether she's addicted to these things?
No, and I don't intend to. If I did, she'd just suck her thumb and look coy. Carmen is still the little child who likes to pull the wings off flies.
So I guess the only thing that'll keep Carmen off the prawn crackers is a collection of dead flies.
Yes. Nasty things.
And you want to employ me as Carmen's fly catcher?
Yes.
Well, I'd better go and get swatting. Thanks for the brandy, General.
I enjoyed your drink as much as you did, sir. Good luck.
Hell, I'd better go back to collect my trousers.
Keep it down now, please. I'm on the phone. Hello? This is Paul Cromford for the online magazine program Cromford's Assortment. Is that Pattercake?
Yes. Hello, Phil.
So, how's Marriott doing?
Oh, not too badly, Phil. He's dosed up to the eyeballs with painkiller, and he's got a bowl of water to bathe his wounds in.
That's good. Pattercake, we were all left dangling when Marriott had his mishap. I wondered if you could finish your demonstration right now, over the phone. I've got a recorder going.
Oh, splendid, Phil. Right, where was I? Ah, yes. I was trying to show that any regular pulsing, even the ticking of a clock, is a kind of musical note. But some pulses are too slow for us to hear them as music unless we artificially speed them up.
Preferably with electronics and a twiddly knob.
Or something, yes. I chose B-flat as the note to illustrate because it turns out that there's a cluster of galaxies called the Perseus Cluster 240 million light-years away in deep space. And this cluster is emitting a pulse with a cycle of 9.6 million years. And, you know, it looks as if that pulse is B-flat, 57 octaves below middle C.
Really?
Yes. So it seems there might be objects throughout the universe that are doing similar things. Space is singing to us, Phil.
The music of the spheres.
Well, it's more the music of the bits between the spheres, but never mind.
Can I just say something?
Oh, Marriott wants to say something. Go ahead, Marriott.
I can't feel a thing with these beauties, but they were both purple, and now one of them's turning yellow.
Did you catch that, Phil?
Yes. Sounds like somebody will be in severe discomfort tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Hope it's not me.
he's off with the pixie folk, I'm afraid, Phil.
That's all right. Thanks for a very illuminating talk, Pat. Cheerio for now.
Oh, bye-bye, Phil.
Look who's up there. Huge.
So, red onions instead of the shallots.
In heaven's name, man, how many more substitutions?
That's all of them. nearly done now. It's said here 20 tubs of powdered chocolate Nesquik.
20? Well, that's a ridiculous mistake. I only ordered 2.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So I took care of the other 18 for you.
What do you mean?
I tipped them away in your little water feature over there.
You did what?
It frothed up a real treat.
My patio waterfall?
Yep.
But what? Are you totally crackers? Why did you... I had fish in there.
Ah, you did, huh?
I don't know what to say.
Well, sorry about that, but it's kind of lucky I got another fish for you then.
What?
As a goodwill gesture, because of all the substitutions, Waitrose wants you to have this salmon.
A salmon?
Freshly caught yesterday, straight out of the chill box. Good-sized one, too.
Well, that's very handsome of them, but it doesn't make
up... Hey, listen, do you want the fish or don't you?
Yes, I do. But didn't you have any paper to wrap it in? You're standing there holding it like a baseball bat.
Uh-huh.
Oh!
Oops.
Ow! Stop it!
Whoa, I slipped.
Oh, get off! Ooh!
You gonna take this fish or are you gonna just slump there rubbing your head?
I am going to report you.
Makes no never mind to me, mister. I just quit. Oh, almost forgot. I didn't give you your little crescent doodads.
Get off my doorstep before I call the police. But you can leave the croissant.
No, I can't. I saw them. I shoved them in my pie hole. I enjoyed them. Revenge is sweet and flaky, mister. I'll keep the salmon.
If I ever see you again, you'll wish you'd...
Hey, don't forget. I know where you live. So long, Frosty.
Right. Thinks he can ride roughshod over me, does he? Well, we'll soon see about... Hello? Beavis and Barnett? I'd like to put my house up for sale.
No, not yet, people. Meanwhile, among the queues in the shopping arcade...
Man bag. and the giant inflatable Rupert Bear!
Pardon me. I think that person is trying to get your attention.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry, I was miles away. Hello?
Finally! You gormless gonk!
Can I help you?
Tell that awful woman who just spoke to you she can go to hell like the scuzzy old bat she is.
Do you know that man?
He's my husband. We're not speaking.
Oh, I can't say I'm surprised.
Tell him I'm not prepared to have an argument with him in the street, but he has got a point about your beard. It is very silly.
She says she's not prepared to have an argument with... Eh? What? Silly? Oi, you, in the daft yellow high-vis bib and the nasty peaked cap, with the naff walkie-talkie and the word police right across your chest.
What?
Tell her yourself.
Forever blowing bubbles. The voyages of the mini-sub Skipjack. Commander Hassock's log. July the 3rd, 1900 hours. My last log entry of the day before bedtime with Ovaltine. This afternoon, while cruising at 30 fathoms, we were enlivened by a rather startling close encounter.
Goodness, what a size it is.
A humpback whale, I believe, gentlemen.
Our lights made it look vast. Ooh! Oh, that gave me a turn.
And off it goes into the murk again.
Did you notice that our sonar didn't pick it up?
What?
Our sonar didn't so much as ping back once.
The sonar's broken.
Telfrin?
Yes, Skipper?
Any thoughts on that?
What do you mean?
Well, just that when I'd got the Skipjack off the drawing board and invited tenders for the construction, you offered to install the navigation and sonar equipment.
That's right.
And here we are, in the open sea, heading towards the Pillars of Ulysses with a perfectly functioning navigation system.
Well, I did my best.
And a sonar device that failed to detect a rather large specimen of humpback whale.
Yes?
Telfrin, if the sonar were broken, we wouldn't hear any pinging, would we?
No, probably not.
And yet, it pings without seeing anything.
Yes.
What's making the pinging noise, Telfrin?
It's an audio file.
Pardon?
I nabbed an audio file from YouTube.
No sonar! We're going to get rammed by another vessel!
We're listening to an audio file.
I've got it looping.
We have no sonar capability at all.
It's not my fault. I ran out of time for the fitting out.
Or a shoal of cuttlefish! Or a container ship!
Phobes. I know you're prone to anxious moments, but just for now, could you bite on your toilet bag and try to relax? Telfrin, I don't know what to say. I'm at a total loss.
Sorry, Skipper. Shall I turn off the audio player?
No, don't do that. It's quite soothing to listen to. I think we'd better set course for home. Phobes, please plot us the most direct route and get us going.
Yes, Skipper.
Oh, and Phobes, dead slow, if you please.
Hello. I'm... Well, you know who I am, but you probably don't know any of my friends here with me today. On drums, Mr. Fred Kepler. On tuba, Mr. Ernie Herschel. On accordion, Miss Ariadne Hubble. And on guitar, Mr. Leo Galli. With myself, of course, on the xylophone. We call ourselves the 12.5-inch reflectors. And although we may look quite fuddy-duddy to most people, you'll be pleasantly surprised at our chops, I think. We're going to play our own rather jolly version of a popular tune called What Are You Pouting For? And to get myself into the right frame of mind for the introduction, Ariadne is going to tell me a saucy joke. What are you pouting for? To tidy that ending up a bit.
Yes. I suspect that What Are You Pouting For is really called Why Pout? And that wraps things up for this week's show. I hope you enjoyed this second look at some of the sillier things I've done over the past third of a year. And if you do enjoy these, look out for the next regular edition on Thursday, the 23rd of July. In the meantime, keep it together. I know the last few months have been very tough for all sorts of reasons, but it is worth hanging on, staying with it. I made this program for you, and I'm going to be here sending them out for how much longer? Well, I think that's something the next few weeks are going to decide. In the meantime, bye for now. Cromford's Assortment was conceived, assembled, and presented by me, Paul Cromford. I still don't own the Safari's Wipeout, and I still don't own Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov. I just borrowed them to entertain you. Everything else in the programme is pretty much mine. This was a Paul Cronford production, to be the steadying voice in your ear.